The cross is enough. It's through the work that Jesus did on the cross makes us who we are. It's because of the cross and the work that Jesus did there, we find out our purpose in life as well, and how to follow and how to grow, to become better and even greater in believing and following. A few months ago, we as a church, and you got kind of updated a little bit in our business meeting last week, we put together a group to think through some things about capital improvements looking at repairs that need to be done to our facilities, some things that were some renovation type things that need to be done, just kind of some updating that has to happen through time. And that team, that capital improvement team, they've been looking and prioritizing things, and we've discovered we've already well underway on some things. And of course, when you start talking about improvements to building, you know, well, you got to have some funds to get there, right, to pay for everything. And so as we started talking about this months ago, I was asked maybe to consider thinking through some things about stewardship and maybe an emphasis in messages. So the next 2 or 3 weeks, that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk through some things about stewardship. And so when I sat down and began to pray about this and think about where God wanted us to go, kind of like most of us, when we talk about stewardship, we automatically begin to think about buildings and funds and monies and that sort of thing. And there's more to it than that. I even looked up the word stewardship. This is what I found. It says, stewardship means the office, the duties, and obligation of a steward. And I read that. It says, I don't know that it cleared things up too much for me. But, you know, I did understand that what it was saying is that the job of a steward is to supervise or manage something. So as I begin to think in those terms, and again, listening to what I hope God was saying to me, is that before we can manage things, before we can manage buildings, and before we can manage monies, we've got to have a management to our life as well. In the realm of church things, and you know, if we don't manage our life well, if we're not disciplined our life, if we're not discipling our life, patterned after who God's Son Jesus, remember, He's working to create us in the image of His Son Jesus. If we're not ordering our life around that, then the rest of everything else is not going to matter. I mean, if I'm not ordering my life around the measure and means of God, then my money, the money I have and the resources I have, are not going to be managed well either. In other words, we have to be a good steward, but we have to be a good stewardship, a good steward of life. And that life that we know is lived best when we live it in how God's directed us. It's lived best when we live with and utilize what God has given to us. God has given us certain talents, and He's given us a purpose about life. He's given us a certain amount of time to live on the face of the earth, and so we have the stewardship of that time. And then He's given us those treasures, that monies that we have. And so again, how we're living and putting all this together affects really how we walk with God. So we have to have this stewardship of life thing. So let's start first as we kind of walk through this thing about stewardship. And let's think about the stewardship of talents or the stewardship of a God-given purpose. So find in your Bibles, if you would, the book of Romans chapter 12 this morning. Romans chapter 12, we'll begin reading in verse 1. If you're using the Bible in the back of the pew in front of you, you can turn to page 126. And there you find Romans 12 and you can find verse 1. We're going to read some words of Paul. After World War II, this is interesting. After World War II, there were some students from Germany were sent to England to help in the rebuilding process. These students were given the task of helping to rebuild a cathedral that had been severely damaged in the bombings, interesting enough, that the Germans had done in England. And one of their major projects that just kind of captured their attention was the statue of Jesus, whose arms had been broken off during the bombings and the so forth that had taken place. And as they were trying to repair, they got to his hands, and they just couldn't really do much with the hands. And underneath the description was, again, that Christ is to us, or the description that originally read is that, come to me, those of you who are heavy, and I will give you rest. It says, come to me. And he had his hands extended out. Well, they were having a hard time remanufacturing the hands, so they just decided they would not do the hands, but they would change the inscription. And this is what they changed the inscription to. I lost my spot. We are Christ has no hands, but our hands. That's what they changed the inscription to. That speaks volumes to us. As Christ has left the earth and He gave us a purpose to fulfill. And what we're going to read from Paul's writings here is that he is emphasizing the work of God in the world. He's emphasizing the work, His work through His followers, through disciples, through His children, through His people, through the church. And that means that each of us has been given an assignment to fulfill. We each have a role to participate in the building of God's kingdom, of fulfilling the purpose that He has given to us. And if He has given us His purpose, then He has equipped us to carry this thing out. And what's unique about this purpose and this working with God is certainly we can't do it without the help of the Holy Spirit, without God working in us. But He's also created it so that we have to depend upon each other to carry this task out as well. So let's read together. Romans chapter 12, pick up in verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, my brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, and the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does all acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Now, if we were to spend a good amount of time here, we could spend all day long just in verses 1 and 2. There's just so much there that we need to digest. However, those two verses are really set up for what Paul says in the next five or six verses. And the practical application actually happens in those last verses, like from 5 to 8, is kind of the application part of that. So these first two verses set up what we're to be for God. And it's that's our attention we're going to dive into today. Now notice, he says, we present ourselves to God as what? Living sacrifices. So we're to sacrifice all that we are, all that we think that we are, and we're going to give that over to God because that's who He is. But notice, to tell into that, the reason that we're going to sacrifice our all to Him, he says that's the way we're going to worship God. Remember Jesus said that God was looking for worshipers who would worship Him in spirit and truth? Paul writes here that the way we worship spiritually is because we've sacrificed ourselves to Him and we're not being conformed to the world, but we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And get this, we make this out so hard that we want to know what God's will is for our life. And Paul writes this, it's in sacrificing yourself, becoming that living sacrifice so that you worship with God with your whole life. Every day, every moment of your life is a worship time to God. And then he says, these gifts, there's where you find the will of God. And did you catch it? It's not only the will of God, it's the acceptable will of God, and it's the perfect will of God. So the perfect will of God is how we live out this purpose that God's given to us. It's that stewardship of life that we're living it out that now God has given to us. Now there's three things that we're going to notice here, verses 3 and 4, about what God has given to us in this purpose. So, first off, we have been given a purpose. You know, if God's got something for us to do, He's got an assignment for us, there's a work for us to do, then we have to have a purpose. And this purpose has been found, or the purpose for us individually can be found in the giftedness that God has given to us. And He gives us that list beginning in verse 6 and following. There's other places in the scriptures where you find all kinds of lists of all kinds of ministries, of all kinds of things that can happen. Again, that God has called us to do. I really like the words of John MacArthur. John MacArthur is a writer, commentator, and pastor out in California. His words here. This passage utterly destroys the notion that a Christian can be committed to Christ but be inactive in his service. Let that sink in a minute. I'll read that sentence again. This passage utterly destroys the notion that a Christian can be committed to Christ but be inactive in his service. That he can love the Lord but not obey the Lord. That he can be surrendered to the Lord but not minister for the Lord. True worship cannot be divorced from service. So again, this is how we're worshiping God. Remember, our living sacrifice, we're becoming who God wants us to be, like his son Jesus. And we're going to participate in the fulfillment of the ministry that he's given us to this purpose that he's given to us. Now, the purpose is simple. Jesus gave this before he ascended into heaven. Matthew 28:18 and Acts 1:8. Where he says, go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do everything that I have taught you, and I'll be with you to the ends of the earth. So make disciples of all nations, of all people groups, of all nationalities, and I'll be with you. You're going to teach them everything I've taught you. See, that's the purpose. That's the big purpose of the church. Now, how we individually fulfill this is how this giftedness happens in our lives. So there has to be some honest evaluation going on here into our lives, the stewardship of life. Because each Christian must know their spiritual gift. Each Christian, each individual must know how we are to carry out the ministry or the ministries that we're supposed to be involved in the local church. See, it's not wrong or bad for us to look at many different gifts. Sometimes that's part of how we help find out what we're good at and what we're not good at. You know, I'm better at this thing, I'm not too well at this. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with us seeing someone else's spiritual gift and encourage them to fulfill that. But what happens sometimes is that, and Paul talks about this, is don't consider yourself better than you are. Well, you might turn it around, don't consider yourself worse than you are either. Because sometimes we downplay, oh, I can't do this. That's not my gift. And quite right, frankly, it might be your gift. It just depends on what you're doing with it. Or we may do it the other way. It says, I think I've got this gift and I try to do things and I'm trying to minister in the life of the church that God's not called me or not gifted me to do. I want to do this ministry. God says, that's not what you need to be doing. See, both are working from a thing of pride because they're not allowing God's glory to shine best in their life. Moses did this. Moses was on the other end. You know, he said, I can't do this, God. I'm not a good speaker. I can't go back to Pharaoh. They're not going to listen to me. And see, Moses did it on the opposite end. But each of us has been given a gift. Each of us have been given a way to let the glory of God shine through their life, through our lives, so that he can be seen. Now, notice something here. It says, through the measure of faith that we've been given. So this giftedness is a means of the measure of faith. So in this context of what we're reading here is to refer to the spiritual gift operates best. We do it as we follow in faith in God. So the measure of faith is the measure of the gift that's been given. It's kind of synonymous in this. And it's God through his sovereignty that he hands out the gifts. He gives those to each of us. And it suits how the body is to perform or how it's to work. It has to do with faithfulness. The faithfulness in our life and the faith that it takes to practice or to exercise the giftedness that we've been given. You know, it's been said, and this just astounds me, it's been said that even the smartest people around us only use about 11% of their brain. I'll let that sink in a minute. The smartest people only use 11% of their brain. That means 89% of the brain goes unused. Now, we're not going to talk about the people that use less than 11%, all right? We'll just kind of forget them for a while. But, you know, you get the point. Kind of the big question then here comes in the use of our spiritual gifts. How much faith are we really using? How much grace of God that's penetrated into my life is really coming out of my life? You know, and we're trying to discern what our spiritual gift we have and how much faith I'm practicing in God and how much grace that God's given me has been coming out. Maybe we could ask some questions. How is God loving people through me? What are the ways that God loves people through my life? How is God loving people into His kingdom? How is God loving people back to Himself through my life? I think those are some pretty good questions to begin to try to answer. Again, figuring out where we are and the gifts that I have and what God expects from me. Because you see, if God's love is not being seen, then we're not loving others. If God's love in my life is not being shared with others, then I need to look and see where God's love is in my life. How much faith and how much grace again has really touched my life and is coming out and being utilized on a day-to-day basis. How does God love through me? Well, how has God fit me or made me part of a ministry in the life of a church? Now, for us here at First Baptist Grayson, 2-3 years ago, we identified 9 ministries that we were going to be part of. 4 of those are staff positions. Well, one's a volunteer staff position. Robert, when we started talking to him about leading our senior adult ministry, I told him, I said, I really want to operate this like a staff position because it's such a big ministry in the life of the church. And he graciously prayed through that And so now when we have staff meetings, he's there. And when we meet during the week, we talk in those realms as well. We have worship, we have recreation, and we have children. Those are our 4 staff positions. But we also have education or discipleship. We have fellowship team. We have a greeting ministry. We have missions and evangelism. We have prayer as well. So we have those 9 different ministries to carry out, and how we fit in that, or how each of us fit into one of those ministries. About 1.5 years ago, we decided that we were going to focus on 2 of those ministries. For the next 3 years or so, we decided that we were going to focus on senior adult ministry and children's ministry. So the other 7 might begin to think and ask themselves, how is God's love being shown through me to reach senior adults? How is God's love working in me being shown through me to reach young families and children? Because we said that's what we're going to emphasize, and we felt God leading us that direction. In some sense, you could say, too, because we've really kind of highlighted that we know that we need to impact and we need to reach young families and children. So you might even take that senior adult ministry and say, okay, as a senior adult, how is God going to love young families and how is God going to love young children through my life and through this ministry? How is it working? It's a ministry about God's grace and touching others' lives and helping them to become who God created them to be, just as God's working in each of us, creating us in who He created us to be. Now get this. We've all been given a purpose. All right, we get that. Now the second thing, notice in verse 3. For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So if we've been given a purpose, now he's telling us we have been equipped for this purpose. We've been equipped to carry it out. By the grace of God. So it's grace. You didn't earn it. You didn't ask for it. This is something God gives. God alone can give the gift of ministry to us. It's God's to give. Now notice, you, I, we, we're not God's gift to the world. Don't think yourself better than you are, right? You and I are not God's gift to the world. You and I are not God's gift to Gwinnett County. You and I are not God's gift to Grayson. First Baptist Grayson is not God's gift, but we are God's grace to the world. We are God's grace to Gwinnett County. We are God's grace to Grayson. See, one works off a sense of superiority, the other works off a sense of humility. God's called and God has touched my life and God has changed my life, and therefore I want you to experience the same thing. Work from selflessness. Notice something else he says here. He says, be of sober-mindedness. That really means to be in the right mind. It means to think right. We have been given the mind of Christ. We should have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. So what was the mind of Jesus, and what was the attitude of Jesus when he was here? He said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. I didn't come for people to wait on me. I didn't come for people to do things for me. I didn't come for people to do things in my life to help me feel better about myself. I came that I might serve them. And then the catch comes in the second part of that phrase. I came that I might give my life away as the ransom for many. So you see, if you and I take upon the same attitude, if we take upon the same mindset of Jesus, I'm not here so people can serve me. I'm here so that I can give my life away. That I can sacrifice myself so they can know God. What's that thing about being a living sacrifice, holding acceptable unto God, which is our spiritual worship to God, of giving our life away? And that's what Jesus did. He gave his life away so others could come to him. So you see, if you've been gifted, and you have, God has given the faith and the grace to see to it that we can live and that we can practice this gift, that it's just going to happen naturally in our life. How again is God loving people through me? How is the utilizing of the gift that God has given me intended to the purpose that I'm following, not just wandering from one thing to the next? Again, it comes naturally as we walk with God. When you were growing up, and you've seen this in your children and your grandchildren, you thought you knew how to communicate well. A baby communicates. Gibbering, cooing, laughing, crying. Generally gets them what they need and what they want. Sometimes not quick enough, but it gets it to them. Later on, though, you discover that the use of words were a little better. That kind of helped in people understanding what you needed when you wanted. Later on, you discover that putting those words together in a sentence really helped. And so that's where that 11% of the brain really comes into effect. You know, we're not talking about the ones that don't use 11% yet, remember? But the better we're at putting those sentences together, the better we are communicating with each other. See, you had the ability to communicate all along. It's just that as you grew, you became more effective in how you did it. That's our spiritual gifts. The more we have it, the more we grow, the more we mature it, the more skilled we get, we become more effective in working out the purpose of making disciples and growing up as we've been called to. So we've been given a purpose. We've been equipped for that purpose. Now notice in verse 4, the third thing. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we must work together toward the purpose. Right? So we've been given a purpose because we've been assigned a spiritual gift. We've been equipped. We're to maybe have to hone that gift up a little bit to become effective. And now we're to work together with one another because he says we're one body. Now, what would happen if one leg wanted to go one direction and the other leg wanted to go the other direction? You're going to be pain. You're going to be in some pain, and you're probably going to be laying on the ground somewhere, right? Paul talked about this to the Corinthians when he wrote to them about spiritual gifts. He said, we're one body. And he talked about the nose can't say to the hand, I don't have any need of you. The ear can't say, I don't have any need of the foot. It takes the whole body working together to be effective. And to be healthy. See, we're so interconnected with each other. We're interdependent of one another. We'll be most effective, just like the body is, when the hand does what the hand can do, and only what the hand can do, it helps the feet. When the feet do what only the feet can do and what's supposed to do, it helps the hand be better at what they're doing. So again, we have to understand what my role and my area of responsibilities are in the life of the church and the life of the body of Christ. And therefore, it makes things work much more effectively and much more efficiently. And we get our task completed. If I'm independent, I don't need you. I can do it all myself. I'll do it myself. Go ahead. I've got it covered. If I'm dependent, I need you to do this for me. Sometimes I'm not willing to do it, so I'm still dependent upon you because I'm not going to do it. You do it. That's dependency. Interdependency says, helping you helps me be better. That's the church. That's the spiritual giftedness. There's a story that appeared in a high school newspaper years ago that I think teaches this principle very well. So once upon a time, the animals decided they should do something meaningful to meet the problems of their new world. So they organized a school. They adopted an activity, a curriculum of running, climbing, swimming, and flying. To make it easier to administrate the curriculum, everybody participated in all the subjects. The duck was an excellent swimmer. In fact, he was better than his instructor. But because the duck had poor running skills, he had to give up swimming so that he could spend all of his time practicing running. Because his web feet became badly worn, he became only an average swimmer. But average was acceptable to everyone, so nobody was worried about it except for the duck. The rabbit, he started out the top of his class in running, but he developed this nervous twitch in his leg muscles because to make up for swimming, he had to work extra hard with his legs. The squirrel was excellent in climbing, but encountered constant frustration in flying because his teacher wanted him to start from the ground up instead of from the tree down, where he was better. And so he would get only C's in climbing and D in running. The eagle was a problem child and was severely disciplined for being a nonconformist. In climbing classes, he beat everybody to the top, but he always insisted on doing it his way. You see, being a steward means that we manage the life, we manage the gift that we've been given to the fulfillment of the purpose that God has called us to. So what's your gift? What's your gift? How is God loving others through you? How is God loving others into His kingdom, into Himself through you? We're using that giftedness in the life and the ministry of the church to fulfill the purpose of the Great Commission. Where is grace being practiced? Where is faith being practiced and seen in your life? It's possible someone here, the way you're going to practice grace and faith today is because you're going to come to God through His Son Jesus. I mean, all that God did through His Son Jesus on the cross is to get us to this point. To bring Him to Himself. So that we can know and experience His grace. Others, it may be practicing the faith and grace by getting involved in ministry or getting involved in your community, getting involved in your neighborhood. You know, Jesus told this story. Remember, it's the story. We think it's about money. It's partially about money, yes. Where he had this guy, his master was getting ready to leave for a long period of time, and he gave one guy 10 talents. He gave another guy 5 talents, and then he gave another guy only 1 talent. And when he finally came back, the guy that had the 10 talents, he had turned it into 20. The guy that had 5 talents had turned it into 10. But the guy that only had 1 talent, he brought that 1 talent back to him and was reprimanded severely. What are we doing with the talents, the gifts that God's given us? Are we increasing them? Become more effective, reaching more people into the kingdom with them? Or do we still have that one thing that God gave us years ago, and here it sits? Let's pray together. God, I thank you for your words. God, I thank you for your love for us. God, I thank you for the grace that you've given to us, first through your Son, Jesus, and then the grace that you've given to us, even through your Son and through the working of the Spirit, that we need to share with others, so they too may know how great a God and how great your grace is. So God, first I pray. I pray for the one there or two that may be here. I pray that the one or two that would be here would come to know your grace firsthand and experience it. God, then I pray for those that are here and they've been given grace. They know it. It's there. They've practiced faith. Yet, God, there needs to be a more effective use of grace and faith in the gift that you've given them, of the talents, fulfilling the purpose that you've called us to. So God, over these next few moments, let us search into our lives. Let us hear from you. And God, you do in us what only you can. Again, to raise us up, to let the grace that you have so freely given into us just naturally flow from us to touch others' lives, to be good stewards of all that you've given us. So God, you speak, you draw us to you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. You come as God's directing you. God does. Can I pray with you? God, I thank you for Barbara and for her love for you. God, I thank you for the commitment she made months ago. God, I pray that she's paying closer and closer attention. That God, you would just each day just reveal somebody that she could share your love and your grace with, that it would touch them. And eventually that it would work in their life and hers, that they would come to know you through salvation and through hope and life. So God, just strengthen her, encourage her every day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And amen. Can I get you to bow in prayer for another moment? As you pray, hopefully you're listening, because I know God's speaking. Where is God loving others in your life? It could even be a who for right now. What aspect of your gift that you may not be using to its fullest? Maybe you just gotten tired. Maybe the evil one has made it hard for you. Today you're going to step back up and say, God, through your grace, through your power, through faith, God, again, we thank you so much for loving us. I thank you for the grace again that you've given us through your Son, Jesus. For the grace that now works in our life through the Holy Spirit. And God, as we live that grace out day by day again through the giftedness of how you've called us and how you've made us together. God, I pray that you give us the courage. Let us see the opportunities day by day to be used. God, as we continue and we give now some resources, it's part of stewardship of life as well. So God, as we give, that we're giving again what you have asked us to give. And then as we give, that we use it wisely. So again, that all that we do glorifies you. All that we do is to make more and better disciples. And we pray this in Jesus' name and amen. You can be seated while we give. Amen. Thank you. All right. Next week, we're going to look about the stewardship of time, which I think is very fitting since we're supposed to turn our clock forward an hour next week. So if we utilize that extra hour of daylight we're going to get. Also, might make mention, over the next week or two, we're going to start painting underneath here, getting ready for the new children's ministry area. So if you have some skills or some desire to help, I'll let you see Robert or maybe Mike. Well, Mike, I lost him. Mike Hester. You can catch up with one of them, and they'll give you some dates and times and some of the things that need to work. Or you can also ask Donna. She kind of sees some of that stuff too. So, see you hand wave. Oh, good. So if you're good at tearing things up, I am. I'm good at tearing. You can show up this week. You have get ready to paint. All right. Let's stand together. Let me pray over us as we go. God, again, we thank you so much for loving us. God, I thank you for the grace again. God, may what we've experienced, not just today even, but all through our life because of your grace, let it extend to others this week as we come into contact with people. God, so that we let them know that you love them. You are great and awesome, and they need to meet you. They need to know you. So God, let us go in that grace and truth. Let us have a daily time of worship as well, again, so that we just shine your glory to everybody that sees us. We love you, we praise you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name, and amen. God bless you. Have a great day.